Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Paul Hamilton. With Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I was about to slip in a question about whether I should be afraid of a certain thing, and that music makes me just afraid of everything. So let me give it a second. Change of tune here. Joe, should I be afraid of drafting David Johnson in the 10th round of this best ball draft? Like, doesn't he play?
They restructured his contract, so he's there. But that's a busy backfield. They signed Philip Lindsay. They signed Mark Ingram.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Scared? Sure. He's just kind of dull. It's a dull pick.
Would you avoid him no matter what? Like, would you just avoid him completely?
Yeah.
As a rule?
What's the best case scenario?
The best case scenario is they're terrible, but he's the number one running back.
Yeah.
And he scores 10 touchdowns and catches 50 passes.
And see, this is where I'll try to not let my football brain mix with my fantasy brain, because my football brain would say, well, Philip Lindsay's the best running back, and he's going to end up being their number one. But Johnson, I mean, they don't have Bill O'Brien anymore. They spent DeAndre Hopkins to get him. So I'd imagine they're still going to want to use him to some capacity.
Paul, which part of your brain do you better trust, your football brain or your fantasy brain?
I agree with Joe when it comes to Lindsay. I would say he's number one. You know what I would be afraid of? That he's going to get cut.
David Johnson.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the other guys that are around and thinking that Lindsay would take over as the number one back. I think that would be a real – if Lindsay does win the job, I think that would be a real possibility that he could get cut or traded somewhere else.
Makes a lot of sense. All right, Paul, thanks. That was my only question. The Houston Texans backfield was my only question.
Well, you know, I enjoy fantasy questions, so, you know, I have no problem with that.
Do you have any for us? Just anytime, no, just fire away.
As you know, I don't have to worry about my drafts. They're next to each other. Our draft is Tuesday, and I have another one on Wednesday, and then I'm done. That's it. I have two.
And they're months off. They're months away.
Yeah, we do those in early September.
You're nice to even weigh in on this.
You know what we do have to think about, though, is what are we going to do with the extra game? Because our season is 13 weeks, now 14 weeks, which means we'll have to play somebody in the other division a second time. So who is that person going to be where you get to play one person in the other divisions two times? And if you play the team that's really good, you're at a disadvantage than somebody else who's playing a team that's really bad.
Right. Well, I would just like to have the privilege of choosing once the draft is over, if you don't mind. I'll just pick somebody. We can all do that. We'll just somehow make that work.
What is that site? You have the guys on Pro Football Fantasy Guys, or what is that called?
Football Guys, maybe?
Yeah, the Football Guys.
Mm-hmm. Have them choose?
I, for years, have done our schedule. They put out a 10-team, 13-game schedule. So for years, I just plug our teams in after we have the draft order.
All right.
And I take the schedule off of that, so I may just do whatever they do.
you could, and some leagues will do this, you could opt for instead a two-week final.
Huh. That's interesting.
I put that up for a vote in one league I run, and it was about split. People wanting the extra game versus people just wanting a two-week final. The two-week final is
something. Yeah, that's definitely something to put out there. Mm-hmm. Let people decide if they would rather just do whatever the schedule maker decides we're going to do, or go with a two-week final.
Yeah, it's only two teams. Everybody else doesn't get the extra game, but you know it's something you could choose.
Well,
it'd
be four
to do.
Teams because the consolation game, which is
okay,
worth
right.
money too. They would go 2 weeks also.
That's right. That's almost half your league.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad right. I asked.
There you go. All right. Jack Eichel is not coming back this year, Paul. You're not surprised.
No, not at all. I was, you know, even when I asked Ralph Kruger straight up after a game Eichel played in, is Eichel playing injured? Because I thought it was rather obvious. And he said no. I thought, well, huh, really? You mean to tell me that Jack Eichel all of a sudden can't play hockey anymore? Is that kind of what you're getting at here?
Well,
I'm in
no hurry to defend Kruger, but guys are hurt and then they're injured, right? Like there are guys who have, I don't know. I'm not really speaking. I don't want to speak exactly to how he put that to you. It's just, you know, guys are, hey, if you asked a player on the Sabres right now, how do you feel? They might list three or four things that are bothering them. We think that Eichel played with some sort of discomfort, played through it.
And, Mike, this is what we don't know. Is this the injury that he got in training camp? Or is this the injury he got playing against the Islanders when we actually saw on TV that he jumped when they actually tried to deal with his neck on the bench and he was having a lot of trouble? Was it something that just happened then? Or is this the thing that has been bothering him all year? Or are we talking about two separate injuries?
Well, I think what you're saying, and I think I would agree, if we find out eventually, probably we do, that he's been hurt the whole time, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you said already, right? Like it would not surprise you.
Yeah, and I think once, I would imagine we would talk to Jack on locker cleanout day, and I would imagine he would let us know that if.
Or once, even next season.
Once the season's over, yeah.
Or even at the beginning of next season. So locker cleanout day, he'll wait until the season's over to clean out his locker. Is that what that is?
To have a Zoom call. Well, locker cleanout day, don't forget that includes meetings, too, with the GM and the coach and whoever else. So
right.
They'll do that.
Paul, this stat line, as Joe and I were talking about earlier, will look very strange on Eichel's record over the years. I mean, if he has 10 more years in the league and he's 20 to 30 goals, you know, for most of those seasons, what happened when he scored two? What, did he only play three games? No, he played 21 games and he scored two goals. It's really glaring on a – I mean, I love stats, and so looking at those pages, looking at Pete Rose today, it's Pete Rose's birthday. The stat page, the reference site page is insane. It's awesome. Eichel could have a long, great career, but he's got that 1 year where he scored two goals. What?
We in Buffalo will know why, but, yeah, if you're just looking at it and you're in San Diego, California, and you're a hockey fan and all of a sudden you're looking at Jack Eichel's career and you're saying, boy, what happened there?
Right. So we've got this evaluation period that we're in for Don Granato and maybe other certain players. And so with this news, what it also means is that we'll continue through the season without Eichel. Can Granato look like, can he impress to the extent that you think he needs to without Eichel around?
I think he started to do it now. I like the way he sounds, you know, when dealing with us in the media and talking. He seems to be pretty honest with things. If he can tell you, he does. If he can't, he doesn't. And is pretty honest about, I made a mistake there. You know, I should have done this differently. I was trying something. It didn't work. And I definitely thought about it. If I had it back, I'd do it differently. And I like, especially now that he's trying different things. We talked about overtime last night. They were pretty good in overtime. They had the puck a lot, and they weren't bad in overtime. And I asked him how he felt about the overtime, and he revealed, I was trying a lot of different things. He goes, I wanted to see certain combinations out there and if they would work and if they wouldn't. So he was rolling out different combinations almost every time, and that was what he wanted to do. To see how it all would work and how it all would work together, doing different things out there in the overtime, and I think for the most part he had to like what he saw. I mean, sure, you don't want to give up a 2-on-1 to Taylor Hall in overtime, but you know that's going to happen. A 3-on-3, you are going to, if you lose the puck, you probably are going to give up a chance at some point. Bruins did the same thing, and Buffalo almost scored on a 2-on-1. So, I like that about him, that he's willing to try things. I like how he seems to be getting the most out of many of his players, like right away. I mean, some of these players, haven't been good all year, but he came in and was like a breath of fresh air because he was impressing upon them their strengths instead of their weaknesses. And that's really lit a fire under many of these guys and got them to be playing much better. And, Mike, I've thought a lot about, you know, Adams when he's evaluating at the end of the year. You know, I like Dylan Cousins a lot. I think Dylan Cousins, and I thought it before the season even started, but now that I've seen him play, I think it's been confirmed. I mean, he is a top six centerman on this team. And I really like the progress that Casey Mittelstadt has made. We were told by the old coach that he would not be a center in this league, and now it's looking like he's going to be a center in this league. And I like a lot of what I've seen out of Casey Mittelstadt. But then I thought, all right, moving forward, if you're Kevin Adams and you see the growth out of Mittelstadt and Cousins and you've got Eichel, are you comfortable that you can build a championship team with Eichel, Cousins, and Mittelstadt, your three centers down the middle?
If not, also Reinhart. I mean, he's getting that chance too.
But if you have those three, I think Reinhart goes back to the wing. If Mittelstadt is where you think he is, I don't know if I'd have Casey Mittelstadt as my fourth center. I think if I'm going to use Reinhart at center, I would trade Casey Mittelstadt then. I wouldn't keep him. But I think if they like what they've seen in Cousins and Mittelstadt, I think Reinhart would go back to the wing.
Well, that's part of the whole thing. Like, you're talking about what happened in overtime, and there's just absolutely no argument against what they did, what Granato did with his lineup in overtime with these games. I mean, it's a weird word for it, but it's the luxury afforded to these teams in the bottom of the standings. You have nothing to lose. So he seems to have the right mentality about it. Mittelstadt, you know, he might be, Dahlin is somebody we've talked about as, okay, we need to see Dahlin sort of turn it on, to say the least. But he has such a status, or at least I think he still does, in the organization that I kind of feel like either way he's around. Mittelstadt is somebody who it's might maybe on the line for here.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And then I thought about the defense. You know, all right, McCabe and Ristolainen played their best hockey. So you decide, all right, we're going to keep them because they were really good together this year. And then you've got Dahlin and Joakim Harju have been really good together this year. And Bryson has been good, and Borgen has been good. So now you put Bryson and Borgen together. Then I thought to myself, okay, can you win with those six? I mean, can you build a championship team if those six are your defensemen? And that's, again, what Adams has to wrestle with as he, you know, you have to project forward, looking forward, as you're trying to make this team, and not just a playoff team, but, you know, a championship caliber team. Can you win with the three centers that I said? Can you win with those six defense? And with Samuelson, who, from what I understand, has improved so much in Rochester this year, that could probably play in the NHL right now. So another youngster that is, from all reports, doing very well down in Rochester.
Two quick things before you go. One, the Sabres are in Washington for a game tomorrow. 1,000 games for Nicklas Backstrom, I guess. That'll be his 1,000th game. This can make you feel old department.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Like Backstrom?
Yeah, it does.
1,000 games.
Yeah, it seems like he just started his career.
Kind of.
It's been a very good career for him. It's him and Ovechkin have just been the faces of the Capitals for how long and been good. I mean, every year they're good. You know, it's not like they take a year off or you have to give them a kick in the pants. Those two, every year, are good. And that's an accomplishment.
I'm guessing he's just been very durable, too, for that to be right. You've had a couple of shortened seasons, but, yeah, I see lots of 82s in the games played column for Nicklas Backstrom. One more. 20 years ago today, Paul, what Sabres event occurred? Do you know? It is one of my – I'm going to say it's one of my top five Sabre goals ever. I can just tell you, or you want to figure it out?
I'm trying to think. The year was, what, 2001?
Yep.
April, at the end of a season.
Yep.
It might have been the start of a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the series.
Philadelphia.
That's what I thought. I want to say
McKee.
Oh, when Jay McKee got the overtime goal?
Yep, in Philadelphia. You would have been there?
Yeah. Yes. And I would not have gotten that.
Oh, really? Okay. This was a Saturday afternoon. I was in my apartment. I watched the first two periods, maybe even the third period, out with friends, then went home for whatever reason and was watching the game. I had this tiny apartment, and my TV that I was watching was in like the smallest room for some reason. I have no idea why. I can just remember exactly where I was sitting. Just, I might have even been standing, like just completely riveted by this game. They won the first game in Philadelphia, got outplayed, but won it. And then the second game in overtime, McKee's goal is just one of my favorite memories of the Sabres.
And it's a player that, you know, nobody would even really think about. And then while you were saying that, I'm thinking, what goal should have been a goal could have been the most iconic goal in Sabre history. And it was when James Patrick hit the crossbar in game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. If he scores that, the Sabres win, and then they win handily in game 7, 4-1. James Patrick's goal would be the most iconic goal in Sabres history. And who would think that James Patrick, of all people, would be the guy that would hold that honor had that happened?
Well, I mean, a good goal scorer, Paul, would have not hit the crossbar. The best goal scorers never hit the post. They just know how to hit the net. No, just kidding. But, yeah, McKee, it's such a strange goal, too. Like, I'm sure there were all kinds of great saves, and he just carefully took his time. He had lots of space. You can probably see it. And he just slides it past Čechmánek, who's standing up, just doesn't really move. He's probably fooled by the shot in some way. And it's in. It's like, that's 2-0 up on the road. You are just like golden, right? Like,
yeah.
That goal turns it into, from like, it's just on. If it's 1-1, it's maybe you're even an underdog, to you are golden. That's the playoffs are so great. That's just one of my, and I knew McKee a little bit at the time, just one of my favorites. So,
and I feel he was a very underrated defenseman. I don't think he got the credit he deserved for what he brought to the table as a defenseman for the Sabres.
Well, at least we're here to give it to him now. Right, Paul?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Okay.
Paul Hamilton here on WGR. Outlet Liquor. Relax. We got this. Relax Honda. We want to thank all our sponsors who bring Paul and Sal to us. Right, Joe?
That is correct.
So obvious right now that I don't have the read. Bulldog always does the read, and I'm just like, oh, Outlet Liquor, Relax Honda, Joe? How bad a job is that? I will get it. Relax. Relax. I will get it. All right. I'll get it. So that's before your time, right, McKee? That goal?
That goal is before my time, yeah. Paul, by the way, was brought to you by Equitable Advisors.
Yes,
planning for the future is
didn't
more
let me finish.
Than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
I'd be nowhere without you holding my hand here.
McKee's not before my time, but
no, but that
goal is, for
yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Red jerseys for that game.
Red jerseys, which they never wore in... I mean, I never saw them wear that in the playoffs because I only got the 1 year, and I don't think they wore it.
They didn't wear red at all in 5-06?
I'm pretty sure they didn't.
How about game 5 against Philadelphia? The Sunday game, they didn't wear red?
I don't remember that game at all.
There was a Tim Connolly goal, maybe for 1-0. I think they win 3-0. And there was a Connolly goal, kind of an end-to-end goal. But I don't know if they're in red. I kind of feel like they were, but I might be wrong. I know they are in the McKee goal.
Yeah, they definitely are in the McKee goal. They wore black in that
black
game for that game 5. So
what about game 2?
Game 2 was
8-0
black. Yeah.
Was that 8-0 or 8-2? Eight. It was
I don't
eight.
Know. All I know, it was over quick.
It was not 8-0. That was a different game. There was 8-0 in 2001. They won the series 8-0.
Yep.
And I remember passing Bobby Clark. So 2001, my memory of that day, the clincher in that series was the same day as the NFL draft. The Bills might have drafted Nate Clements on that day. That's Mike Williams, maybe. Maybe it's Mike Williams 01? That's 02. Nate Clements, I think, is right. And I don't know. I didn't go to the arena. I was nervous. Does that ever happen? Like, you don't want to go out or you... I mean, this was... I would have had a press pass, not a ticket. If I have a ticket, I mean, I'm going. If I paid for a ticket, I'm going. But I had a press pass, and I chose from when the draft coverage I was involved with was over to go home and watch the game there. I don't know. Like, just, I was nervous for them. And they just dominated. It was 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 fast. There was an Andruchuk goal from the boards. Just, like, everything was right. And so, like a front runner, maybe 4-0 in the second period, then I went down there. Like, all right, I want to be there. And so, after the game, walking toward the locker room, remember Bobby Clark standing in the hallway, just grim. Flyers getting crushed like that to be eliminated. This actually happened in Sabres history. Stuff like this did happen. It was cool. And I walked past them and just, like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's right. See ya. Just a blowout. Barber was the Flyer coach. Clark's an executive. Just all of it. Just, like, go away. You said last night that game brought out, I know I want to hate Boston. I don't feel anything anymore, but I want to hate Boston.
Yeah.
And that game reminded you a little bit of that. They'll play 3 times next week. You might hate Boston a lot next week.
Good.
Or you might not care at all. I don't know.
It's the only time I ever watched, like, I ever like watching Ristolainen play is when they're playing Boston.
Really?
Just because Marchand is just the worst. And Marchand hates Ristolainen. So those are the few moments where, like, I see why a lot of fans like Ristolainen. Like, that's a little glimpse of it, a little window for me.
No, but it's so meaningless.
But I get over it pretty quickly.
It's so meaningless. Like, it's not like Marchand doesn't play well against the Sabres.
No,
the Bruins don't always beat them. They've beaten them 8 times in a row.
It's just that element of,
come on.
Oh, he drives you crazy, and it is someone that drives him crazy.
These Boston
games. There's
no
value in it.
Whenever there's, like, a fight or a hit, you always get the, oh, they should respond. As if that has anything to do with why this team can't get out of last place. I just hate that point. It has nothing to do why they can't get out of last place. They don't have the puck. They can't create offense. They can't score. Their goaltending's bad. There's a list. Let's care about that. No, I got to get revenge. I got to punch somebody. Then I can be a good team. Come on.
Boston, too. Like, I know last night, I mean, it looked completely different, but, like, they've built their team to be fast and to score. Like, they're
surprise.
They actually are, like, a one-line team when you look at it. Like, they don't have this depth that they always had. They don't have this grit that they always had.
Well, they got a little bit more on Sunday night.
Yeah. But they're just good because their first line is the best line in hockey. And they could score on anybody.
Yep. The Bruins.
Yeah, but I hate them.
Yeah,
also.
We hate them. We help them, but we hate them. We help them. We got a second round pick.
We probably help
them. We could help them.
Yeah. We didn't get a goal, though, in our
bet. I'm still torn. No, I know. I still, a part of me is like, Kevin Adams should have told him to stick it for that offer. Like, I know. And Bulldog would say to me, yeah, that's not respectable. Like, I know, but I still want it. I still wish, we wouldn't have to know about it if it happened. We'd need Adams to do it and then have the press conference after the deadline, which says, yeah, I had a deal with Boston. This was it. I thought it sucked, so I told him no. And Hall wouldn't play for anyone else, so here we are. How great would that be?
Oh, I'd love it.
How great would that be? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't think the county executive is legally correct. We tend to work in a collaborative with local government, and we're just not there yet to make those decisions. I was with the Islanders today. You know, it's going to be the same question all across the board. What do you do with sports attendance when you get down towards the end of the year and the seasons restart? And I think you have to see where you are. Things change so quickly. You know, where are you going to be in 4 months? I'll tell you in 4 months. If the immunization all goes right, if there's no variants of interest, if, God forbid, there's not another virus or pandemic, I just think it's early to make a decision months ahead. Legally, the state would have to sign off on it. Practically, we tend to do it as a collaborative.
Okay, Governor Cuomo today. You know, they don't have... It's okay this way. I'll tell you in 4 months. Well, in 4 months, it'll be like week three of the preseason. You might want to just sort of get moving in one direction. As we said yesterday, and we talked to the county executive yesterday, if it happens to spur people in our community toward getting the vaccine, great. So I don't think they would have vetted it. You know, there's probably no risk in what was done yesterday and said. As to all the legalities and that, guess what? I guess this is convenient for me, but it's true also. I'm not an attorney. So I can't tell you exactly how that should be. What I do in life when I have like a legal question would be to contact an attorney, perhaps. Like, in theory, that's what I would do. I think I've done that in my life. Yes. One time we took our landlord when I had an apartment with a girlfriend to court because of damage, this tiny little damage that was done to the floor. And the landlord wanted like the amount of money to replace the entire floor. And so I called an attorney who knew what to do. Just like when I'm sick, I call a doctor, not just like turn on the news and find out what I should do. So we'll see. But I thought yesterday was a good day, and I don't think this necessarily changes anything. Hopefully people get the vaccine and can fill the stadium. That's what we want to end up. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off today. Sneaky Joe is along. I have one question about the Vikings. I'm in a draft right now, and I've got a Vikings question. Do we know anybody there?
I think we know somebody.
Matthew?
Yeah.
Can we call Matthew just unscheduled and just ask him one question?
You want to just cold call him right now?
Yeah, can you?
Sure.
All right.
I'll call him right now.
Got a Vikings question. All right, Joe is calling Matthew Collar. Hope it works out. I admit I'm distracted. I want to see what happens here if Matthew Collar answers the phone
and whether they would pick a quarterback.
The Vikes?
Yeah.
No, it's not about the Vikings draft, no. But it is about the Vikings. Is he going to pick up? Why would he, right? Is this going to be a number that he doesn't recognize?
No, he'll recognize it.
He will? All right. He seems to have answered. We have to tell him, I believe legally, should I call an attorney? I believe legally we have to tell him that this will be on the air. So maybe Joe is doing that. And we seem to have had a successful connection. Matthew.
What's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
I was not expecting it.
No.
I saw WGR pop up on my phone, and I was thought there was an emergency.
Did you have time? Did you have time to think about what it possibly could have meant that we were calling you?
My first guess would be analytics related, or early '90s baseball cards.
Okay, no and no, but only mostly on the first one. So I have one Vikings question for you, because this is, we're coming up on the draft, and I'm in many fantasy leagues, and there is a certain trade that I'm pondering, and it involves a player on the Vikings, so I want to call somebody who I think would know the answer to this and ask this question.
Okay, so, this is what I do all day. I'm ready.
Thank you for extending your day for us here. All right. So Gary Kubiak was the offensive coordinator of the Vikings and has left?
That's correct.
And is his son now the offensive coordinator?
Yes, that is also correct.
Okay, sorry, Matt. This is all part of one question. So do you expect the Vikings offense to look at least mostly like it has looked because either like you know that from what they've said, or just because you would assume that because the current offensive coordinator is the former offensive coordinator's son?
I would be shocked if it was any different, not because they are related, but because the offensive coordinator has not really been the guy calling the shots for how the offense is designed and the offensive philosophy really since 2018. In 2018, the Vikings tried to go shotgun and throw all the time with John DeFilippo as their offensive coordinator and kind of lean into Kirk Cousins, who they paid a ton of money. And Cousins threw one too many pick six for Mike Zimmer's liking. And so that ultimately led to the demise of John DeFilippo. And then since, Mike Zimmer has made it his number one priority to run Dalvin Cook until Dalvin Cook's body doesn't work anymore. So last year, if you look at Dalvin Cook's usage, I mean, he was on pace for, I think, the most touches maybe ever or close to the record, but he missed two games. So Mike Zimmer is not going to allow the offense to be different. I think he was very happy with it last year, and he wants the same exact thing this year. I'd be very surprised if a first-time play caller went into Mike Zimmer and said, no, actually we're changing, and now Kirk is going to throw 600 times.
How about this guy, Joe? He's just sitting around. He's sitting by his fire. It snowed there yesterday. He's probably got the fire going. He's got his Greyhounds. And we call, ask one question, and listen to this answer. How about it? What a pro.
So what's the trade?
Well, I'll tell you later. I just want to know if, like, it's interesting because Cook does not have a higher ceiling than he's been at. I mean, Cook, like you mentioned, the usage, I'm looking, it's 356 touches last year in 14 games. So that doesn't go up from there, but it could go down, and I kind of want to think, I want this for every team, Matthew. I want to think that they throw more because I feel like that's optimal. So you have Jefferson, who is fabulous, and Adam Thielen is probably not too old yet. Like, he's good. Maybe they add somebody because everybody will in this draft, and you become, and Irv Smith is interesting, so you become a more passing team, but what I'm wondering is if the Vikings are inclined to do that, and you're saying, no, you don't think so.
Definitely not. No,
definitely not.
I mean, I just can't see a world where they do, because I think Mike Zimmer feels like his offense over the last 2 years has been exactly how he wanted it. Now, I think a lot of us look at it and say, why don't you throw Justin Jefferson the football more often? And I think that if Stephon Diggs is listening right now, he's shaking his head about that. But it's just not how Mike Zimmer wants to play football. I mean, I think that he doesn't really trust Kirk Cousins to air it out all the time, which maybe Stephon would also shake his head at that. I understand why that they want to run and have play actions and stuff, but they've gotten to the point where it's actually actively taking away from their own potential as an offense. But still, you're talking about an offense that was 11th in the NFL in scoring last year. And even when we talked to Zimmer, he was talking about how, we're really happy with everything we had last year. So it just wouldn't make any sense for me to see him make that big change to all of a sudden throw a lot. Think about this. They were down in a lot of games and went 7-9 and still ranked, I think, 27th in pass attempts. I mean, that's hard to do. If you're losing all the time and having to come back in games against Jacksonville and come back against Carolina, and yet you're still not throwing the ball very often. I mean, I think that says a lot. The only scenario I could see it is if Delvin Cook got hurt and they just had no other choice, but I still think they would run Alexander Mattison.
It's a great point on the passing. The 27th is the number. They were 29th in the league in points allowed, and they still rank 27th in pass attempts. What's wrong with you?
I know. I know. They wouldn't have ranked 11th in offense if that hadn't been the case. Like they in the first look up Justin Jefferson's splits between first halves of games and second halves of games for his targets. I mean, they were more or less ignoring the passing game in the first half of games, and then they would get down and they'd have to throw it a lot. And Jefferson was unbelievable. That's where most of his numbers came from, was just coming back in games. And, so they were getting behind but with this run-first philosophy, especially because everyone else in the league knows exactly what they're doing. Like, this is not fooling anyone. You come into Minnesota, you know that on second and 13, Delvin Cook is going to get a handoff still.
Wow. Well, the poor fans. Matthew, thank you so much for taking our call. One question, turned into like three, but I hope that's all right.
That's okay. I'm surprisingly available pretty often, so I'm around.
How are things going with the Purple Insider?
Oh, great. Yeah, great. No, things are going really well. I mean, I thought when my radio station blew up into a million pieces that I was in for some tough times, but the fans of Minnesota have been as supportive as the fans of Buffalo once were of my work, so I really appreciate that. And now I consider myself a digital media entrepreneur more than a reporter.
And if we ever, you had to bring it up, the $800 a pack, it's more like 8,000 now. It's crazy.
What happened?
All good question.
Back. Like we end the show and then, it's gone
insane, but it's cool. All right. Nice talking to you, Matt. Thanks for your few minutes here.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Okay. Matthew Collar, Purple Insider. Now Joe is talking to Matt again, and Joe, what'd you think? Was that a good question? Did you like the answer? I thought we learned something.
I think I liked all of it.
Let's do it again tomorrow.
You want to call him again? Ask him a different
question?
Well,
Matthew. Maybe not Matthew, but somebody else. Just like, hey, we've just got one question. Have you got 5 minutes? I just got one. It was more like 10, but.
Cold call of the day. I like it. We could do something like that.
I'd like to find a way to have somehow the Minnesota passing offense be worth more in fantasy, but it may not be worth trying. That's what I found out.
I don't think they're going to do it. When we were going over the draft earlier, I thought about them at 14. They're ahead of New England. Cousins has 2 years left on his deal, but next year they can get out of it.
This will be it. This year will be it, right?
So if they think ahead and they go with this rookie quarterback, then maybe they could turn next year into this passing offense, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think they probably we'll draft a guy next year, though.
Yeah, never ever are they doing it at 14. I'd be shocked if they did it.
Or moving up from 14?
If they drafted a quarterback this year in round one, I just wouldn't believe it. Especially after that conversation.
Who's more likely, the Vikings or the Giants, to do that?
Maybe,
or are they both,
maybe,
or are
maybe
they both
the Vikings,
zero?
Maybe the
zero.
Vikings, but it wouldn't be smart. Why would you trade up and then have a guy be a backup? You just get there next year.
Well, right.
Get there next year.
I mean, that'd
be dumb.
You got to go one step further. They wouldn't, but you got to go one step further. You play them, and you don't care about what Cousins is getting paid.
Yeah. Okay, well, Minnesota. 803-0550, the number. What is the double hook? Today, I think, was my first time hearing about it. Then I have read about it. It's a sports thing. And I am interested in it. I am interested in the double hook. And I will tell you what it is next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Joe, never mind that, because that went on so long. The one question for Matthew took so much time. I'm not getting the double hook until after the update, but I will. You're going to like it. You know what it is?
Not a clue.
Okay. A new term in sports for many of us, for most of us today, or in the last couple of days, the double hook. I'll tell you all about it. Let's take a quick look first, however, at the BetQL tip sheet. This one jumped out to me because I don't closely follow the NBA. I do know that the Nets are really good. The 76ers, according to BetQL, have an 87.5% chance to beat the Nets. Like, really? So, I mean, they're good too, but the Nets are good. But we found out why.
Yeah.
You found out why.
The Nets have a lot of injuries. They have guys out. They're tied, actually, for first in the Eastern Conference. Both teams are 37-17. But Kyrie Irving's away with a personal reason for like the eighth time this year. Durant is on a minutes restriction. He just got back. James Harden is out with a hamstring injury. LaMarcus Aldridge has an illness. So they're missing like four of their best five players, and the other one is on a minutes restriction.
Eight and a half.
They have only played. So the big question about the Nets this year in the NBA has been, how will their big three act together? Because they're all ball-centric,
mm-hmm.
Durant, Harden, and Irving. They're first, but they've only played six games together because of all their injuries, and Kyrie just takes time off randomly. So
that's another term, the double hook, and now ball-centric. Those are new terms.
Yep.
The Nuggets, your Nuggets. Mm. No Jamal Murray anymore, but they are a five-star value against Miami tonight, according to BetQL. Even with Murray out, the line they have is 4. I'm not sure what the current line is. Should we look real quick? I can do that. I know just where to look. Denver and Miami, 6. Well, it's not as obvious when it's 6. You'd like them at 4. If you can, if you know somebody,
see
if they'll give you 4. Find 4.
Go find 4.
Find 4. And then take Denver, according to BetQL. The BetQL tip sheet, you can follow it on Twitter, and we try to give you something from it each day here for free on our show. All right, the double hook. A little baseball when we come back also. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. You can reach us, 803-0550, if you want to chat. This is WGR.